NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong.
And I'm Adrian Ma.
By now, college campuses across the country have wrapped up another round of sorority rush. You may have heard of sorority rush because it's made a splash on TikTok for the last couple of years. Rush is when sororities recruit new members, and it's this jam-packed week of parties and other events.
Hey, y'all. So today's the first round of sisterhood, and I'm so excited because I get to wear our cute little dresses.
Hashtag Rush Talk started with sorority women at the University of Alabama. They were posting behind-the-scenes videos on everything from their daily outfits.
My shoes are from TJ Maxx.
To the songs and rituals that take place during the week.
The TikTok post gave a glimpse into this particular aspect of campus culture, and they inspired discussion about social hierarchies and elitism and the role of the Greek system in college life. But you know what didn't get talked about is economics.
And that's where we come in, because it turns out sorority rush illustrates a concept called matching markets. And matching markets are hugely important to the economy. They help pair hospitals with medical residents and organ donors with transplant recipients.
Today on the show, we experience sorority rush through the eyes of a Nobel Prize-winning economist and a current sorority member. And we learn what the process reveals about matching markets. I hope you have your outfits picked out.
Al Roth is an economics professor at Stanford. He won the 2012 Nobel Prize, along with Lloyd Shapley, for their work in market design, specifically matching markets. That's where two parties need to get paired up.
If you go to a cocktail party and someone says, Professor Roth, what do you do for a living? And you say, well, I pioneered research in the field of matching markets. And someone says, well, what's that? What do you say?
Well, that's happened to me more than once. And I normally start by saying what it's not.
What matching markets are not are markets where prices are involved. Those are called commodity markets.
Commodity markets are markets where you don't care who you're dealing with because commodities are all the same. And so what the market is supposed to do is find the price at which supply will equal demand. But in lots of markets, we're not dealing with commodities. You care who you're dealing with. There's a relationship involved, and those are matching markets.
The labor market is an example of a matching market. So is online dating and the residency matching process for medical students and hospitals.
Al got the idea to look into sororities from his undergraduate students who were involved in the Greek system. Sororities were especially intriguing because they had a centralized clearinghouse to make matches. Al wanted to learn how the process worked and whether it produced what economists call stable matches.
A match is stable if there aren't what we call blocking pairs. And a blocking pair is a pair of people not matched to each other who would both prefer to be matched to each other.
So a stable match is like the best you can get.
It's the best you could get given what's available and what everyone else is getting, yes.
Preferences and rankings are a big part of matching markets. So let's say I'm doing sorority rush. I visit House Alpha and House Beta, and I like House Alpha the best. So I rank House Alpha number one and put House Beta at number two. Now, these houses are also ranking me. House Alpha puts a bunch of other students ahead of me on their list, but House Beta puts me at the top of their ranking. The system will match me with House Beta because it's the house highest on my list that also ranked me highly. This is a stable match.
Al and a fellow researcher published a paper on sorority matching markets in 1991, and the process still works in the same way. So let's look at how it plays out in real-life sororities.
At the University of Virginia, more than 1,000 women go through Rush every year, hoping for a spot in one of 15 houses. Grace Lee is a senior at UVA who went through Rush a couple years ago and is now on the other side of the process, helping to recruit new members for her sorority. The week kicks off with a series of parties where every recruit, or rushie, visits every house.
I needed to be mentally prepared to, like, be just on for 8 hours, just constantly smiling and saying the same things, like, hi, my name's Grace.
UVA does their rush in the winter instead of in the fall like a lot of other colleges. So for this first round, it's a lot of traipsing between houses in cold weather.
So girls would be wearing like jackets and sweatpants, and, you know, as they get to the house, there's a bin outside. You'll just put all your like clothes, you know, in there, and then you'd jump into the house and you're in there in your nice dresses. And when you come out, everyone's like looking for their sweatpants again.
these parties are short, around half an hour. Each Rashi chats with a few sorority members, and then it's on to the next house. And then after all the parties are done, it's time for the first ranking.
So at UVA, Rashis write down their top 10 houses. The sororities also score each recruit. And all that gets fed into a computer program that looks for pairings. That is where the Rashi like the sorority, and that sorority also give a high score to the Rashi. The women then find out which houses they get to visit for round number two.
You don't get your houses back until maybe 30 minutes before, like, next day starts.
So you've already got your outfit on, and you're just, like, waiting to find out where you're going.
Yeah, and that's why it can be pretty tough, I guess, because let's say you really liked a house and then you get your results back and the house like isn't on your list, then it might be a little sad, but then you have to still be like really happy, you know, for your other houses.
But by the cold logic of the matching market, the system is doing its job. Remember, the objective is stable matches, the best possible pairing for both sides.
So this process of sorority visits and ranking, it repeats over several rounds, with women visiting fewer houses each time. Grace says that at UVA, when it's down to just two houses, the sororities are really trying to win over the potential new members, or PNMs for short.
By the end, it's the sororities being like, oh, like, choose us. We really love you, and you're going to have such a great time here. And then it's up to the PNM to rank which house they like the best. And then on bid day, they would all, like, open their bids together and then see which house they, like, got into. And then we would be, like, in the house waiting for them with a ton of, like, balloons and streamers everywhere. And once they come in, there's a lot of cheering. It was just so much fun.
Now, this sounds like a happy ending for everyone. But Alroth did find cases where Rushies tried to circumvent the matching system. Instead of ranking their top two in order of preference like they were supposed to, they only listed one house in the final round.
One of the things that economists talk about when we talk about centralized clearinghouses is whether they're incentive compatible. Okay, that's a fancy term. And what it means is, do they make it a good idea for you to tell the truth about what your preferences are? Now, when things aren't incentive compatible, people sometimes play strategically.
So some recruits tried to engineer an outcome instead of expressing their true preferences. Al says this happens in other kinds of matching markets, too. It happened in New York City with parents trying to get their eighth graders into specific public high schools.
Yeah, that was a couple of decades ago, and Al and a team of economists actually went in to help the city revamp its admissions matching system. So if you look at medical residency match, organ donation, high school admissions, these are all pretty high-stakes situations where Al's work on matching markets has played a big role. Sororities don't get as much attention, even though their matching process works in largely the same way.
Sometimes people are surprised that economists study things like this, but economists study how scarce resources are allocated and how to make them less scarce. And so this is a case of allocating scarce resources in a two-sided market.
Maybe next installment of Rush Talk can be about economics instead of outfits?
Yeah, instead of saying, my shoes are from TJ Maxx, they'll be like, my knowledge of matching markets comes from this 1991 research paper. Vintage!
Hey, good economic research never goes out of style.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Corey Bridges and Catherine Yang, with engineering from Maggie Luthar. Catherine Yang also checked the facts. BLA is our senior producer, Kate Kennan edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.